So I want to welcome everyone to our midweek prayer line. Thank you all for joining. For a few minutes, let us look into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please keep that with you. So I will be speaking some words. So we are currently on a sermon series called Visionary Church. We are looking at the vision that our Lord Jesus has for our church. കർത്താവായ യേശു ക്രിസ്തുവിൻ്റെ ആ വലിയൊരു വിഷൻ, സഭയെക്കുറിച്ചുള്ള ഒരു വലിയ വിഷനെ കുറിച്ച് നമ്മൾ ഈ ദിവസങ്ങളിൽ വി ആർ ലുക്കിംഗ് ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഇൻ ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് സെഷൻ വി ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദ വിഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ സുപ്രീമസി ഓഫ് ജീസസ് ക്രൈസ്റ്റ്, ഹൗ ഈസ് പ്രീഎമിനൻറ്റ്. ജീസസ് ഈസ് പ്രീഎമിനൻറ്റ് വിതിൻ ദ ചേർച്ച്. നമ്പർ ടു, ഇൻ ദ സെക്കൻഡ് സെഷൻ വി ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദി ആട്രിബ്യൂട്ട്സ് ഓഫ് ദ വിഷണറി ലീഡർഷിപ്പ് ഓഫ് ജീസസ്, ഹൗ He is a good model for us as a leader, and how we can be his followers as we follow after him. Last Sunday we looked at the visionary faith that we should have as a follower of Jesus. It is very important for us to have the faith, as that is the way that we can move forward. Now tonight I want to go into a deeper level of what we spoke about last Sunday. So tonight we are going to look at the power of that visionary faith that we talked about. What is the power? So as I start, let me tell you that many people ask these questions. I mean, what kind of person does God bless? Or what kind of a person does God use? Or what are the qualities of the people that God really takes and uses in his hands? Because deep down, we ask these questions because we want God to make us that kind of a person that God will bless and God will use. I don't think anybody among us does not want to be used by God or does not want to be blessed by God. We all want to be want to do that. We all want to hear that word, "This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased." That is the best commendation that we can get from God. Now, we have seen that throughout the Bible that God uses all kinds of people. They are from different backgrounds, people of different ages, different economic status, different languages, different ethnicity. God uses different kinds of people. But all these people that God has used in the past, one of the things that we should note is that they were not afraid to trust God completely. Or these people all had what we call as the visionary faith. So basically the visionary faith, it produces some enormous power that God can use for his purposes, for his purposes can be used. Now, the Bible tells us that there is a direct correlation between visionary faith and power. There is a correlation. So, how does it correlate? The more faith we have in God, the more we allow God to direct our lives, and the more power and blessings we will have from God. Let me repeat. The more faith that we have in God, the more we allow God to direct our lives, and when we allow God to do that, we have more power and blessings from God. So we can see this correlation in a particular example in the Bible where Jesus visits his hometown of Nazareth. We read that in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 58. Here specifically, the Word of God tells us that Jesus did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Because the people in his hometown at Nazareth did not believe him to be the Son of God. They looked at him as the son of Joseph the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brothers, and they could relate. And they looked at him. He became so familiar. They could not see him as God who is working for them. And so there was a correlation. You see, there is a correlation because the Word of God says Jesus did not do mighty works because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. There is a correlation between power and faith. And because of the lack of faith of the people in Nazareth, Jesus did not do mighty miracles that he was able to do other places. So God does not want us to go alone in this world. God does not want to live our life with our own power, with our own understanding. But God wants to give us that tremendous power. And he's waiting for us, and he's available for us to plug in. And faith is what plugs us into God's power for life. You know, the faith, when we put a wire into an electric socket, that is what plugs into the enormous power that can pull out. It is our faith that is like that can plug in into God's power of life. So I just want tonight, very simple, I want to talk about four steps how we can increase our visionary faith, and so that God's power can be evident in our lives, and so we can tap into God's power. This is what I would like us to do. So I'm going to mention about four steps how we can increase our visionary faith, and how God's power can become so evident in our lives that we can tap into the power of God. Number one, the first step is that we should believe in God's vision. You know, it all starts with a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. In a more literal translation, it says, where there is no prophetic revelation of God, where there is no divine revelation, people cast away all restraint, going here and there without any clear meaning or purpose in life. Vision is very important. So it all starts with a vision, and it takes faith for us to see that vision that God has for us. So nothing happens unless we believe in God's vision for our lives and for the church. Now, if you look at leadership, one of the most popular subjects within leadership is called the art of delegation. You know, a good leader is the one who knows how to delegate both responsibility and authority to make sure that the goals are met for that particular time. But in this case, we cannot delegate our authority or we cannot delegate our faith to God. We cannot delegate our faith in God. We cannot ask someone else to believe for us what God is going to do for us. We cannot do that. You know, it's a choice that each of us have to make, whether or not we will trust God and how much are we going to trust God. It's a choice that individually we have to make. So as you think about that, I am reminded of the words of Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, where it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So no matter how much we can dream up, no matter or how much is the vision or how big is our dreams, we cannot come to the level unless we look at the great vision that God has for us. So in this promise, there are two things that should take place. Number one, it should be according to the power that works within us. We cannot expect this promise if we don't have the power within. It all starts with having Jesus in our lives. We need to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And we should have the Holy Spirit, Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit take up residency in our lives. Our body becomes the temple of God, Jesus sitting in the throne of our hearts. And then we can boldly say, like Apostle John, who says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So inside of each of us resides a Lord who is greater than Satan and all his demonic forces. So the first part is that It is according to the power that works in us. The second part of that promise is that it says that we need to ask. It does not happen by chance. We need to ask. If we want God's purposes and God's blessings, we have to ask God by faith. And this is what opens the door for God to work mightily in our lives. So what is our vision? So it is God who puts his vision inside of us. This vision of God are his desires, his plans, his purposes for our lives and for his kingdom. We need to talk to God about his dream and vision for our lives, and we have to ask him. The Bible says we don't have it because we don't ask. And many times we don't have it because we ask with the wrong motives. Many times in our prayer, all we ask is for ourselves, our wants, our desires, but not for God's kingdom. James chapter 4 verse 2 and 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. And in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? Food, clothing, shelter, they will be given to you. So when we seek God and his kingdom first, and no longer we are seeking what we want, then we will receive what we ask God for. So there is a question that I think we all need to consider. What would you attempt for God if you knew that you cannot fail? What you would do for God? That is dreaming big. That is seeing the vision of God, dreaming big dreams. So when we ask in faith, Lord, I believe what you are saying to me is going to be true. That is where God will start working great things. And that is where God will tell us, like he told to Jeremiah. We read that in Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Nothing is impossible with God. You know, someone has said that today's impossibility is tomorrow's possibility. Just because our vision seems impossible, it does not mean that they are not possible. God is the God of the impossible, making the impossible to be possible. So what we need to do, we need to believe in God's vision. We need to believe in God's promises. We need to ask God by faith, believing that he will accomplish his plan and his purposes for our lives. So that was the first thing I said, is that we need to believe in the vision that God gives. Next one, what we need to do is that we should be willing to risk. Faith is being willing to risk. You cannot get fish if you stand on the shore. You have to get into the water to get fish. You cannot go after a vision without taking some kind of a risk along the way, because when there is no risk, there is no real faith. In the early church, it was said about them like this in Acts 15:26. These were the men who risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God turned their world upside down. If God wants to turn our world upside down, we need to take the risk as the people of the first century took the risk. We need to risk for the kingdom of God. Someone has said that we need to look at the turtle. It will only make progress when its neck is sticking out of the shell. We need to stick our neck out for Jesus. To move forward, we need to take risk, which including that we have to change our mindset. Because in our mindset, every time we look at failure, and that is what puts us down. But we are not failures. We have to brush aside all disappointments and try again. But we cannot try it on the same way, because it is said that if you try the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that is the definition of insanity. You keep on trying the same thing, but you are expecting different results. That does not happen. It is said that the great inventor, Thomas Edison, he tried over 2,000 times to create the filament of the electric light. But he never considered them failures, because he said that after trying the 2,000 times, he found that there are 2000 ways that it does not work. So I think we need to redefine this word called failure. We should stop calling what is a failure. Instead, we should call it as an education pathway. We are learning as we go. Through faith, we believe in God and His Word. It still guides to do what is right. Having the faith is being, we should be willing to fail at times. We should take that risk. It is our complete trust in God that God will work out everything together for our good. If not, you know, God will work out His will in our lives no matter whatever happens. Many times Satan always reminds us of our failure and tells us you are no good, you cannot do anything, you have failed there, you have failed here. But I am here to tell you is that we need to get rid of that fear of failure. In fact, we need to redefine it. Failure isn't failing to reach the goal, it is failing to have a goal. Failure isn't failing to hit the target, it is not having a target to begin with. Failure isn't not falling down, it is failing to get back up. So we need to redefine failure, and we need to go along with what God says, that we read in Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we need to get rid of the fear of failure, and so that we can attempt for God great things for Him. So I said about the two things. First, we need to believe in God's vision for our lives, and next, we need to be willing to take the risk. The third thing I would mention is that every day we should live with great expectations. Apostle Paul is somebody who lived with great expectations every day. Philippians 1:20, he wrote like this, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You know, God uses those people who expects to be used by God. Expecting, or that expectation, is an act of faith. We expect God to use us, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what He has done for us on the cross. We put our faith in God's grace so that He can do great things in and through us. We also need a healthy dose of enthusiasm, which means that we need to expect God to move. Many times one of the things that we don't see in people are not enthusiastic. You know, if you ask the psalmist, he says, I was glad when they told me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are we having that enthusiasm in coming and doing the work of God? Where does that enthusiasm comes from? I think, you know, we need to go into the Greek language, how they used the word for enthusiasm. In the Greek, the word comes from two Greek words called entheos, which means in God. So when we are in God, we are going to be enthusiastic. When we look forward towards God going to do something amazing through us, and when we are in His Word, we have the faith to believe God will give us that enthusiasm and God will help us to move forward. And we will move forward irrespective of whatever comes against us. That is why Jesus told to one of somebody who came to Him in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. Jesus acts according to our faith. And one of the reasons we don't see many things happening is because our faith is so less in God. So we need to believe God for greater things. We need to expect God for greater things. We need to be people of great expectations. And so we believe in God's vision. We should be willing to risk it all. We should expect God to do great things. And finally, the fourth and the final thing is, we should never give up. Faith keeps on believing. It is persistent. Faith is persistent. Faith is diligent. Faith just keeps on going. And that is what the Bible says in Psalms 31, verse number 24. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. All you are hoping in the Lord. Expect God to do great things. Don't give up. though those are the those who the Bible defines as heroes of faith, they were not different from us. They were the same kind of people, but they never gave up. They were ordinary people who had an extraordinary determination. And so we need to note what the psalmist has written in Psalms 119 verse 109. My life constantly hangs on a balance, but I will not stop obeying the law. Even though we are going through hard times, we need to move on, continue in the faith that we have. Maybe we are living dangerously close to some edge. Maybe we are hanging on a thread, but we need to say, even if my life is falling apart, I am not going to give up in obeying God's word. Proverbs 24:16, in that particular verse, Solomon says something very beautiful. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises back again. Even though we come down, but we again come up back, we continue to do the will of God. You know, I'm just telling one thing very clearly to all of us. We all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But the good thing is that the difference is we need to desire to get back up, get back moving, get back to the place where God wants us to. And many times we get discouraged and we fall down and we never get up, but God wants us to get up. God wants us to move forward. And because you know what? Our fight is not a sprint. Our race is not a sprint. It's not a 100-meter race. It's a marathon. It all depends if we make it to the finish line. We need to continue steadfast. Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we need to plod on and step on and move on no matter whatever comes in our life. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, God works in our lives according to our faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible also says where there is not faith, that is sin. Many times we are committing sin because our faith is non-existent in our life. And Jesus said, according to your faith, it'll be done to you. So what are we doing through our faith? How much of God are we willing to believe in? Because God will use those people who are willing to step out by faith, who will never give up. Finally, as I'm closing here, and I'm going to close here now, one last thing is, how can we grow in our faith? Is we need to ask God to help our lack of faith. None of us are perfect. We don't have the faith as God wants from us. At that time, we need to ask God, Lord, help me. I don't have the enough faith in my life. I need to help me, Lord. You know, in the Bible, in the Gospels, there is a story of a father who had a very sick child who came to Jesus for a miracle. Jesus asked, do you believe that I can heal her? The father said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help now my unbelief. I believe. Help now my unbelief. And Jesus was so pleased that he responded by healing the child. You know, the father knew that Jesus could heal, and probably he has seen Jesus healing someone else. So he believed, but still there was a spark of doubt in his heart that lingered. And so when he was asked whether or not he believed, he truthfully answered to Jesus, said, yes, Lord, but I need greater measure of faith to do so. And that is what we need to ask from God. Ask God for a greater measure of faith to accomplish his will and his purposes. Say to God, Lord, I want to believe. In the process, please heal my doubts as well. Help me to dream bigger dreams. Have a greater vision. Don't let me be afraid of falling. Lord, I'm expecting great things. And I continue to believe and move forward according to your will and purposes in my life. Please give me that greater measure of faith to believe. And the power of God can help us to believe in him for greater purposes. The question is, will you believe that? Will you believe that, whatever I said, through the word of God? Let's close our eyes. Look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a wonderful God and that you love us so much, Father. Today, I thank you that you taught us the power of the visionary faith, Lord. In these days, I pray
that you give us the faith to believe, Lord, your word completely. Give us the desire to get up and do what you have told us to do. I pray, Lord, that today, these days, that we can accomplish great things for you. That we will just not be sitting back and, Lord, doing things that are not pleasing to you. But these days that we will get up off our feet and we will start doing the work that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you bless everybody in the prayer line tonight. I pray that you give us that faith that we can trust in you completely, that we can move forward, Lord, and do greater things for you, Father. I want to thank you, Father, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for helping us each and every day as we are taking time to pray, Lord, for the needs that we have in our church. I pray that you bless each and every brother and every sister, Lord, who is going to be praying, and every part of the prayer line that we are going to be leading today. I pray that you help us, oh Father. Bless us today, Father. We want to give you the glory and honor. We bless you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.